Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliani here again on an extra awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Well, I hope you have all had an awesome Christmas. Yesterday was Christmas Day, where we commemorated the birth of Messiah, the birth of the God-man in Bethlehem. And I hope that you've been able to avoid all the secular distractions and all the commercialism and the materialism, and yes, even the COVID pandemic, in order to reflect on the birth of Messiah, a plan of salvation that evolved through all of the scripture that began in the Garden of Eden, as we've commonly talked about, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when God promises a redeemer to come from the seed of the woman, and he will crush Satan's head. And amen to that. And we just commemorated yesterday the birth of the Messiah, the God-man, the birth of Jesus of Nazareth, who traces his actual biological heredity to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who were the great patriarchs, to Judah, down to King David, and then down to Mary and Joseph, who are both in the line of David. And I know you've heard a lot of teachings about the Nativity, about Christmas, and I know that you've been to church probably, well, Friday and yesterday and today, and you've heard a lot of readings, and you've been in Luke's Gospel a lot. And we on the show here have gone through the season of Advent with a lot of the sort of preparatory teachings that leading up to the birth of Messiah, mostly from the prophet Isaiah. But as I mentioned, this plan of salvation that starts to unfold in Genesis and goes through the law and the prophets, as Jesus always said, the law and the prophets speak about this. It now takes flesh. The plan of salvation now is present in flesh. And the Word, capital W, becomes flesh and dwells among us. He becomes Emmanuel, God with us. The Greek literally means he pitches his tent with us. And our word tabernacle comes from the word for tent. He lives with us in a tent. He lives next door to us. He lives among us. He lives a life like every other human being except for sin. And what we are celebrating today is the birth of the human Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, who gets his humanity from all the people that were mentioned and right down to his mother, the Virgin Mary. Joseph, of course, is not his father, and we know that, but sometimes you have to clarify it, especially to the younger generation who has much less of a foundation than we did when we were growing up. But suffice it to say that now in flesh, this plan, which has been evolving, which has been proclaimed, which has been manifested through Moses and the prophets, through the law and the prophets, not only the law and the prophets, but the Psalms and the wisdom literature and the historical literature all pointed to Jesus. As he himself said in John chapter 5, all the scriptures are about me. You can search the scriptures, and that's great, but all the scriptures are about me. All the books are about me. He said all the scrolls are about me. Because they, of course, didn't have bound books. They had scrolls. So what we've been celebrating, commemorating, and I know a lot of you are thinking, well, we don't know that he was born in December. Well, he most likely was not born in December. And in my mind, like I always say, it doesn't really matter that much to me when he was actually born. What I'm celebrating is the fact that he was born. He was born to be the mediator, capital M, to be the once-for-all sacrifice, to satisfy the wrath of God, to bring salvation to those who repent of their sins and follow him as Lord and Savior, and to look forward to living the real life that we're going to have when we leave this life. So this is what we're commemorating. And we'll say a little bit more toward the end if I can get through this. We're going to still, I know, like I said, you've heard a lot of readings. We're still going to go in Luke chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 8. I'm going to read a little bit, and then we're going to have a little teaching, then maybe some comments about celebrating Christmas. So Luke 2:8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at these things that were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told to them. So here we are, shepherds in the fields around Bethlehem. If you've been to Bethlehem and looked out over those fields, which are still there today, the city is bigger than it was then, but it is surrounded by fields, and there are actually shepherds that still work in those fields. They are Palestinians who have flocks of sheep and goats, and I don't know what else, but you can see them out in these fields. The shepherds are still working there. These are the same fields that were mentioned in the book of Ruth, where Boaz and Ruth met when Ruth was gleaning, and they became the ancestors of David, King David. These are the same fields that are mentioned in the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, especially 1 Samuel, I should say, talking about the fact that there were shepherds, including David when he was a kid. There were shepherds in these fields around Bethlehem, which was the city of David in the land of Judah. Judah, of course, is one of the sons of Jacob, one of the 12 tribes, but they were a very special tribe in that they were the tribe of government. The kings of Judah all came from the tribe of Judah. Jacob, the patriarch, as he was dying and blessing his sons, said that Judah would be a lion that would tear apart his prey, and the scepter would never depart from him. In other words, a lion of Judah was going to come from the blood of Judah, and he was going to have the scepter of authority to rule as king. And this all takes place in the land of Judah, where Bethlehem is located. It was called Judea after the Romans came, and so it's called Judea in most of the New Testament, but it is the land of Judah. And so this was the city of Jesse and David. And as we see in these passages, the birth of Messiah, the birth of Jesus, was not made known to the high priest, not made known to the religious leaders of the time, not made known to the rich and important people in Jerusalem. it was made known first to these poor shepherds, not in a place of opulence and luxury, not in the center of the religion, which, of course, was the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. The first humans that heard about this were these poor shepherds, these poor people who lived in tents, lived in caves. And when you go into those fields today, you can see caves where shepherds lived. These very shepherds that Luke is talking about, these very shepherds that Luke describes in these passages, actually lived in some of those caves that are there now. And they were caring for sheep. This was their job. They guarded the sheep from their enemies. They took the sheep to the pastures. They had to protect the sheep because, as you know, the sheep are pretty defenseless when the wolves come. The wolves are the enemy. The Bible commonly compares people to sheep. And when you look at your average flock of sheep, which is the vast, vast majority of which are ewes, female sheep, they have no defenses. They can't run. They can't stand up in moving water. They're not very bright. They will put themselves in danger just to have another bite of grass. They'll go out into a field and just keep eating. And if they're not watched, if they're not guarded, can actually eat themselves to death. And a very good friend of mine who actually has some sheep was telling me the other day when we were discussing a Bible course that we're going to teach that she actually has had experience with a sheep that ate itself to death. So all that to say that shepherds are needed to protect the flock. You know, later, of course, Jesus is going to call himself the good shepherd. He's going to say, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep don't respond to the voice of an enemy, don't respond to another voice. They respond to my voice. He says, I lead them out of the sheepfold. He doesn't have to drive the sheep out of the sheepfold. He leads them out. They hear his voice and they follow him. Even though they're not very bright and don't have any defenses and don't really, you know, all the things I mentioned before, they will follow the shepherd that they know by his voice. And the Bible compares us all to sheep. You know, even Isaiah says we all like sheep had gone astray. The Bible compares us to sheep, but we know his voice. If you're in the remnant, and I use the word remnant all the time because we are living in a time where we are a remnant of people who are following the Lord, following the scripture, trying to live lives that he wants us to live, and trying to make the good news of his gospel known so that others can be saved. And we're doing this in a pagan world that ridicules these things. And so we are, in fact, a remnant. The shepherds, you know, they were considered not trustworthy. They were not allowed to testify in court. They were looked down on. These are the first people that get the news of the birth of Messiah. Now, when you look back at the history of this, interestingly, the great patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, were all shepherds. Jacob's sons were shepherds. All the boys were shepherds, including Joseph, who's probably the closest type, the closest prefigurement of Messiah. Moses worked as a shepherd for 40 years. David worked as a shepherd into his teen years, probably 16 or 17. Moses was caring for sheep when God manifested himself to Moses in the burning bush. When he got the news that people were going to be delivered from Egypt, delivered from the slavery of Egypt. Moses was taking care of sheep when that happened. David was called and anointed by the prophet Samuel while he was literally out in the field taking care of sheep. He knew he was going to be king. He was anointed as the next king. So all of these people mentioned here went from taking care of sheep to leading people. So God thinks that being a shepherd is a pretty important occupation, pretty important thing to be doing, because it's good training to take care of wayward sheep before you start taking care of wayward people. So these shepherds, just like Moses got the news while he was caring for sheep that his people were going to be liberated from slavery, these shepherds outside of Bethlehem got the news of salvation for the whole world while they were taking care of sheep. The message came to them while they were doing their job, which is basically the same job that Moses had been doing and that David had been doing when they were called. And these shepherds were awake and they were watching. It says that they were awake and they were watching. They knew that what they experienced was not a dream, that everything they saw going on around them was real. And they were not expecting anything particular that night. They didn't expect that that night Messiah was going to be born, that that night they were going to see the glory of God in the skies. They didn't expect that that night they were going to see angels and hear angels singing. They didn't expect that that night they were going to physically see the one, capital O, that Moses and the prophets all spoke of. They were just doing their job, and they were called to be involved. Angels appear around them. It says an angel stood over them, an angel, singular. The Greek there that's used means that this happened instantaneously and suddenly. Suddenly, the angel was there. There was no warning the angel was going to be there. He didn't come gradually. Instantaneously, this angel comes. And angels in glory are going to go and appear all around them at this time when they weren't expecting it. The Greek means that an angel came and stood over them, and then the glory of God shined all around them. And this was very difficult for them to bear. This was very terrifying. In fact, it says they were very much afraid. The Greek there means this was an exceeding great fear that they felt. And that's understandable. If we had that experience, we would probably be more scared than they were. This is not something that you just say, oh, there's the glory of God and there's an angel. It would be a terrifying experience that you had never experienced before. Totally out of their experience. And the angel realizes that they're terrified and says, don't be afraid. He reassures them. He says, absolutely, don't be afraid. Just relax, calm down. I've got really good news for you. So don't be afraid. I'm not here, you know, bringing wrath from heaven. I'm not here bringing judgment. I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to bring you really good news. And it's going to be a joyous news, not only for you, but for all people. Not just for you or those close by or those within 50 or 100 miles of here, and not just for Israel, but it's going to be for all people because the Messiah is born, the Christ is born. After all the waiting, all the expectation, all the anticipation, all the centuries and centuries of prophecy, speculation, study, the angel says he's born this day. He's born right now, this day. And it's right over there in the city of David, right over there in the town of Bethlehem. And this is for everybody. He's the Savior. He's going to be the Lord. He's going to be the deliverer. This is not something that is going to be kept secret. So all us angels are here to tell you this, that he's been born. And he's born just now in the city of David. He's born in Bethlehem, which we know from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. The prophet Micah tells us the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. From Bethlehem is going to come the one who is going to shepherd my people Israel. So that prophecy is fulfilled. This is where Jesse and David lived. And we know that Messiah was going to come from the line of David. As David finds out through the prophet Samuel in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And it's a joy for all people, as prophesied by Isaiah. It's not just for Israel. It's for all people. It's for the nations. It's for the Gentiles as well. Because what's happened here, a child is born, Isaiah tells us, and a son is given. An actual human child is born. A baby boy is actually born in the flesh. Just like every other baby boy is born. He's born of a woman, born under the law, Galatians 4. But a son is given. Capital S is given. The second person of the Trinity, the everlasting, eternal God, condescends to take on this flesh of this baby, in this baby that is born, who is Jesus of Nazareth, but who is also Messiah and Lord, who is also the Christ. He's also the Christ, the King, the everlasting ruler, who as Nathan tells David, is going to sit on your throne forever and ever. As Gabriel tells Mary, he's going to sit on the throne of David, his father, forever, and his kingdom's never going to end. And this is the plan of salvation that's now in the flesh. Now in the flesh. So the angels tell them how to find this baby. There's a lot of people in Bethlehem at this point because of the census. If you're from the line of David, if you're from the tribe of Judah, but especially if you're from the line of David, you have to go to Bethlehem to be registered. So there were a lot of people there. And there were a lot of children, there were a lot of babies. But this particular baby, you're going to find laying in a manger, wrapped up in swaddling clothes, bound up in swaddling clothes. Not going to be dressed in robes. There's not going to be royal attendants. Not in a palace. Going to be laying in a feeding trough. This is all part of the condescension of God, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. He goes from the glories of heaven to what I call our garbage dump. In unbelievably humble circumstances, Isaiah tells us in 53 that there's nothing about him that makes us even look at him. There's nothing special about how he looks. He looks like everybody else. In humble circumstances. Then the whole host of heaven come and start doing a doxology, singing glory to God in the highest. So the Messiah has been born. Salvation of people is going to be the result of this. And the angels are celebrating. This is going to be the solution to the sin problem. This is going to be the reconciliation. He is going to be the reconciliation between God and men. The absolute mediator. The ultimate mediator. God's going to have goodwill toward men. And men are going to have goodwill toward God. And angels glorify this, even though it's not for them. It's for men. And so this confirms that this plan comes down from heaven. And the angels go immediately after the angels leave. They go with haste, it says. They don't wait. They don't discuss it. They want to see this thing that has happened, it says. And they acted right after the angels. They had a word from heaven, and now they had to act on it. You know, when we get a word, we have to act on it when the word is over. But that's another show. The shepherds don't doubt the message. They don't doubt what the angels announced. The poor circumstances they found this baby in did not make them doubt any of this. And then they thank God for allowing them to be involved, that they were involved in this. We should thank God every day that we're involved in the plan of salvation. And Mary ponders all these things and reflects on them silently and privately. She's obviously overwhelmed by all this. So this is the announcement of the birth, not in the temple, not in a palace, but in these poor circumstances. So once again, from Gift of Grace Radio and Ministries, Merry Christmas. And we are going to be back in a week, which will be the day after New Year's Day, to start a new season of broadcasting. So I hope you've had a Merry Christmas. I hope you've got to spend time with your family. And please reflect on these things in the days ahead, even though all the hoopla of Christmas will be over. So join us again next week. We're going to read and teach God's Word and proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Merry Christmas. A hand raised in faith.